Om Agnatam Anandasya Arjana Arjana Sulakaya Chaksu Sundatan Dena Tasmaya Sri Gurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadamayam Ladati Sapanantika Pancha Kapatu Vischa Kripasinu Bevacha Petitanam Pabunebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. In the chapter we just completed, chapter 16 of the sixth canto, Maharaj Chitraketa received some mantras from spiritual master Narada Muni. And these mantras basically said, in eight verses, basically said that the absolute truth is understood in different ways. It has different manifestations. There is Brahman, there is Paramatma, and there is Bhagawan. And there are so many different forms of the Lord. And practically speaking, everything that exists, exists within that absolute truth. So the absolute truth, calling God, the absolute truth, is actually a more proper understanding. Absolute truth, the supreme absolute truth. Let me put it down a bit. Because the absolute truth includes everything. There is nothing outside it, and therefore it is absolute. So, although he is everything, there is nothing separate from him. Because if there was something outside of the absolute truth, that absolute truth wouldn't be absolutely true. So although there is nothing outside of him, still living entities such as ourselves who are also not outside of him, they cannot approach him by their own power. Through ascending means, by our own power, although he is everything and everywhere, and although he is still a person, and although our own body becomes functional by his entering the body in two ways. One is the super soul, the Paramatma, in everyone's heart, and the other is the living entity who is an expansion, a separated part and parcel expansion of the Lord. Still, we cannot know him by our own power. But he is a person. And there was that nice verse describing that after describing this wonderful power of the Lord and his all-pervadingness, that this person, his lotus feet are massaged by the lotus bud hands of the devotees. So he's a person, and those who serve him, even after liberation, still remain persons. So the prayers and the mantras of Chitraketa Maharaj express those basic points. Then Maharaj Chitraketa practiced these mantras, and after 7 days he saw the Lord. The Lord appeared before him. He was so serious in his practices. And as an intermediate step, as an intermediate opulence, he became the king of the Vidyadharas, a subtle realm, a subtle planet, where the living entity, those who live there, it's in the material world, but they're more subtle and have more powerful than ourselves. So, this Lord, who is served by his loving devotees, appeared before Chitraketa Maharaj. When Chitraketa saw him, he offered some more prayers to the Lord. He explained how the Lord, although he is unapproachable, he reveals himself to his devotees who control his mind. And then he began describing more of the power, who this Lord actually is, who appeared before him in a full form. Universes are created and destroyed by just a part of his opulence, or by empowering the demigods. They are maintained by him. Universes, there are so many universes, and each one rests upon his head as an Anantashesh, as an atom. He exists in all phases of time, the past, present, and the future. And even when the universe ceases to exist, he still exists. And one who worships the demigod, so here is this great Lord, and then one who worships the demigods to gain something in the material world, they're like animals, and their results are temporary. The results they get when the universe is vanquished, or even before that, the demigods are vanquished, and every powerful person will be vanquished. Sometimes we consider going to a powerful person to gain our material desires. It's natural. But we should go to the most powerful person. And then, even if we do have material desires, we'll gain ultimately a transcendental end. And ultimately get eternal life if we approach the Lord, even for material desires. But approaching the Lord for material desires, Triptaketu Maharaj explains, is not the best type of service. The best is called Bhagavad Dharma, the religion of the Lord. This is pure religion, Triptaketu Maharaj says. And in this Bhagavad Dharma, one thinks oneself the Lord's, and one thinks that the Lord is mine, and one acts for his pleasure. And one can do one's duties according to the Shastra, one's prescribed duties to please him, and then gradually associate with the Lord through his holy names and through the deity form, and remove all the contaminations, all the material desires, which are actually sinful reactions sitting within the heart. And one has to learn this process and serve the Lord through one's spiritual master. Spiritual masters. So Chittaketu Maharaj completes his prayers, and then the Lord replies. So far the Lord has been described ultimately as a person, but so powerful, and he's so powerful that he's beyond our ability to understand him. But yet, if we perform Bhagavad Dharma, or acting for his pleasure, bhakti yoga, devotional service, then he kindly reveals himself to us. And that devotional service is anyavilasita sanyam gyanakama anavrita, with no other desire other than to please him. Bhakti mam nabijananti yavanyas chasmi. No other desire than to please him. Then the Lord replied, saying that the qualification to see him, because there he was, this incredibly powerful Lord was standing right in front of Chittaketu Maharaj. This incredibly powerful Lord, how can one possibly see him? The qualifications to do so comes again through serving the spiritual masters, through serving one spiritual master or spiritual master. Then the Lord himself began to describe his own opulences, just as Chittaketu had described them. The Lord described them, confirming what Chittaketu Maharaj had said, that all comes from him. Everything. There is nothing in existence that is outside of him. And he is in his form. Can be seen in the, or perceived and even seen in the deity, which is him, and in the sound vibration, such as the Hare Krishna Mantra or the transcendental sound vibration of Om. The living entities themselves and matter, the states of consciousness that a living entity passes through, being awake, being dreaming sleep, or being in deep dreamless sleep. All of Brahman, all of everything, the spiritual energy, Paramatma, the Lord in everyone's heart, and even the ability to know, the living entity's own ability to know, perceive, to feel oneself knowing something, This is also, all these are expansions of the energy of the Lord. But yet, at this point, we don't know Him. We don't see Him in everything. So he explains that even though that we, as part and parcel of the Lord, mama eva angso, mama eva angso, jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatana, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that we, the living entities, are Krishna's part and parcel. We are not different from Him. Even though we are not Him, we are not different from Him any more than a spark of a fire is different from a fire. Same quality, but different size, any more than a gold ring is different from the entirety of gold in the gold mine. Same quality, but different quantity. So when we don't live in our relationship, knowing or our identity with Him, if we see ourselves different from Him, separate from Him, then we fall into illusion, the Lord says. Lord Shankarshan says. And instead of identifying ourselves with Him, we begin to develop so many upadis or other identities, beginning with the body, our family, our wife, our children, husband, our possessions, our money, our country, our this or that, our talents or abilities. And the result of that type of misidentification is that we have to suffer birth and death again and again and again as we build up more and more material desires, which cause us to revolve within the material world, body after body. So therefore, wishing to get free from birth and death, one should remove this illusion of separation from the Lord and understand the self. Actually understand who we are, that we are Krishna's. We are Krishna's part and parcel. And we should see clearly, there are so many strong verses on this, we should see clearly that material attempts at happiness don't actually reward us with happiness, but they bring us the exact opposite result, bringing us distress. Therefore, the Lord concludes, become a devotee, know the Supreme Person, know oneself as a living entity, as a part and parcel of Krishna. Take this knowledge, apply it in life, and attain the Lord, relationship with the Lord, a spiritual relationship with the Lord, which is the highest perfection. Then, after describing all this to Chitraketu Maharaj, the Lord left. Now, Chitraketu Maharaj then assumed his position as the chief of the Vidyadharas. So we'll begin this chapter. Hare Krishna. This is chapter 17. Srila Sukadev Goswami said, after offering obeisances to the direction from which Ananta, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, had disappeared, not even because the Lord disappeared, He went in a particular way in that direction, was worthy of His obeisance. After this, Chitraketu began traveling in outer space as the head of the Vidyadharas. Being praised by great sages and saints and by the inhabitants of Siddhaloka and Charanaloka, Chitraketu, the most powerful mystic yogi, wandered about enjoying life for millions of years. This was an intermediary result of the great devotion that he had. He had received the blessing. He wanted, originally approached, his desire was for something on the material level. He wanted a son. So he, rather than losing even on the material level, he gained so much with a lifespan of millions of years and with bodily strength and senses free from deterioration, because ourselves and the material world, our senses gradually deteriorate. As we get older, our body weakens, our digestion weakens, our hearing weakens, our sense ability to see weakens, our ability to run and jump and dance weakens. Everything weakens. But Chitraketu's senses, they remain powerful throughout his long life due to the Lord's mercy. So he was traveling within the valleys of Sumeru Mountain, which is the place of perfection for various kinds of mystic power. So he was traveling throughout the universe as the king of the Vidyadharas. In those valleys, he enjoyed life with the women of the Vidyadhara Loka by chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord Hari. So, although he was enjoying the company of women, which is not appropriate for saintly persons, still he was chanting the glories of the Lord there, and his consciousness was fixed in the Lord despite the externals of his circumstances. Prabhupada's purport. It is to be understood that Maharaj Chitraketu, although surrounded by beautiful women from Vidyadhara Loka, did not forget to glorify the Lord by chanting the holy name of the Lord. It has been proven in many places that one who is not contaminated by any material condition, who is a pure devotee engaged in chanting the glories of the Lord, should be understood to be perfect. So it is actually possible, if one is a devotee, that means he is situated in his actual identity, that he has no false ego, no false sense of who he is, no false sense of I am an enjoyer and this world is meant for my pleasure, but he's fixed in his actual identity as a servant of Krishna, as a servant of God. If he is fixed in that, regardless of where one is, one can be purely situated. Because that's the essence of pure consciousness. Be fixed as a servant of Krishna and being surrendered fully to that service. So if one is in that state of mind, one can be ecstatic, completely satisfied, regardless of where one is. Smartavyo satatam Vishnu Vishmatavyo na jatu chit sarva vidi nisheda cha ite eva kinkara. So all the practices, the processes, the sadhana that we perform are meant to get us to fix our mind. When we think of ourselves, we think of ourselves as Krishna's servant, and we are feeling deeply that relationship with Krishna. When that is uncovered within us, and that's our natural consciousness, because we just heard that's what Lord Shankarshan, Lord Ananta, said to Chitraketu, that that the living entity, he has a natural relationship with me. He's an expansion. He's qualitatively no different from myself. So we have to live in that. And how to live as a soul? It's one thing to know that one is an eternal soul, and it's possible to directly experience that. But then how does a soul live? What is his activity? What his desires? That is Krishna consciousness. So one who's pure, not wanting anything other than the service of Krishna, and always naturally engaged in chanting the glories of the Lord, he's perfect, regardless of where he is. So this is our goal, to be always fixed in Krishna consciousness, fixed as a devotee, fixed as a servant of Krishna. So as Chitraketu was flying along with these ladies and glorifying the Lord, something happened. One time, this is text 4 and 5, while King Chitraketu was traveling in outer space on a brilliantly effulgent aeroplane given to him by Lord Vishnu, he saw Lord Shiva surrounded by siddhas and charanas, or other subtle, more perfect, materially perfect living entities in this world. So Lord Shiva was there, surrounded by siddhas and charanas. Lord Shiva was sitting in an assembly of great persons, and he was embracing Parvati on his lap with his arm. When Chitraketu saw this, he laughed loudly and spoke within the hearing of Parvati. So he was flying in his airplane, but yet he saw this Lord Shiva, and he had his arm around Parvati, even though he was surrounded by saintly persons, and he laughed loudly because he was full of wonder. He was astonished. But then again, there he was, surrounded by beautiful ladies. But his consciousness was proper. And here's what Prabhupada says about this verse. So Chitraketu laughed loudly and he spoke and Parvati heard. Here's Prabhupada's purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in this connection, he's commenting on this, Bhaktim Bhutim Harir Dattva Svavichedanubhutaye Devya Sapena Vitra Tvam Nitva Tvam Svantike Anyat. The purport of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead wanted to bring Chitraketu to Vaikuntha Loka as soon as possible. The Lord's plan was that Chitraketu be cursed by poverty to become Vitrasura, so that in his next life he could quickly return home back to Godhead. So herein is the beginning of the answer to the question of, after the pastime of Vitrasura several chapters ago, Vitrasura, who was so demonic and so envious and inimical to King Indra, yet Vitrasura proved himself by his words and actions to be a great, great soul. So Prickett Maharaj asked, how is it possible that this great soul was on one hand great, pure, so realized, that on the other hand he was so demonic, fighting with Indra? So in reply to that question, how could this possibly be, Sukadeva Goswami began speaking, telling the story of Chitraketu. So we've heard how Chitraketu was materialistic. He became a great devotee. And then after he was a great, powerful devotee, he laughed at Lord Shiva. And Parvati heard this. And is what is being intimated by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is that Parvati is going to curse him to take his birth as a demon, as Vitrasura. And therefore when he appeared as Vitrasura, the demon, although he was a demon, he was still a great devotee inside. So that shows that if one gains something in spiritual life, regardless of the birth that he takes, that spiritual gain, that transcendental gain, that devotional gain is never lost. And then one can pick up from directly what, from the point he's gained. For instance, if someone has gained 4% or 7% or 12% of perfection, and something happens and he doesn't complete his spiritual life and enable himself to go to the spiritual world, still in his next life, his next birth, he'll start again at that 7% or 10% or 70%, regardless of the externals of his circumstance. And the Bhagavad Gita in the 6th chapter describes that automatically such a person, without trying, without difficulty, without endeavor, will become attracted to spiritual practices automatically. This is an indication of spiritual advancement in a previous life. Or another indication, taking birth in a situation from the beginning of one's childhood, one hears about God or Krishna, and his spiritual values are naturally, automatically nurtured. This is a sign of some advancement in a previous life. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that this whole pastime, this whole circumstance of Vritrasura's appearance, of Chitraketu's being cursed as a Vidyadhara, is actually behind the whole thing. And we're going to hear many causes for this cursing. And Prabhupada in one purport will say the reason why this is happening is one thing. Then in the next purport he'll say, well, the reason why it's happening is another thing. And then in the next purport the reason is still another thing. But here is the ultimate reason, is that Krishna wanted something done. There may be so many lessons to be learned on different levels from a circumstance, but the ultimate lesson and the ultimate cause is what Krishna is ultimately going to do by it. And that's how a devotee sees everything that happens to him. He actually sees Krishna's mercy in it. Tateno kampam susamikshamano bhunjane vapma kripavabhakam. So regardless of what's happening to one, even if it is something that is horrible and so difficult or so painful, or on the other hand, so joyous, there's an element of Krishna's mercy in that. And the devotee, he homes in on that and he focuses his mind on Krishna's mercy. And he thanks Krishna. Ridvag vivapodam vidhanam namaste. He thanks Krishna, so kind to me. I deserve so much worse. And he's lightened what I deserve. So he's seeing Krishna in that. Krishna's trying to teach me. When Maharaj Prickett was cursed to die, he didn't become angry, thinking himself a victim and why has this person done this to me, etc., etc. He saw Krishna in it. And indeed, Krishna was in that, as Krishna is in everything. After all, not a blade of grass moves without the sanction of the Lord. Upadrashtano mantacha bharta bhukta maheshvara paramatmakti chapyutto dehismin purushapara. He is in everyone's heart and he is the anumati, he is the permitter. Without him permitting it, without him giving his sanction, nothing can happen. There are other causes too. Maybe I've done something and Krishna wants to teach me something. But there's another cause, that Krishna's mercy is there. Maybe I get put in jail or something. Or maybe I'm wounded or something. Or maybe I'm close to death or something due to the horrible acts that I've performed. But yet Krishna's mercy is also there. So the Lord's plan, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, was that Chitraketu be cursed by Parvati to become Vritrasura so that in his next life he could quickly return home back to Godhead. Because after all, he was traveling around for millions and million years on an aeroplane with beautiful women, having a good time even though he was enjoying the Lord, glorifying the Lord. But yet Krishna wanted to bring him back to the spiritual world. So he arranged a circumstance to do so. Prabhupada continues. There have been many instances in which a devotee acting as a demon has been brought to the kingdom of God by the mercy of the Lord. So there's the story of Dantavakra, Sisupal, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, all coming from Jai and Vijay. Haranyakashipu, Haranyaka, here's another one here of Chitraketu. So this, now, for Parvati to be embraced by Lord Shiva was natural in relationship between husband and wife. There was nothing extraordinary for Chitraketu to see. Nonetheless, Chitraketu laughed loudly to see Lord Shiva in that situation, even though he should not have done so. Thus, he was eventually cursed, and this curse was the cause of his returning home back to Godhead. So that is an art of living in this world, to see Krishna's mercy. Yomam pashyati sarvatra savam chamai pashyati tasyaham satamena panashyati. For one who sees me everywhere, Krishna says, who sees me everywhere and everything in me, I am never lost to such a person, nor is such a person ever lost to me. This is the art of Krishna consciousness. So Chitraketu, Prabhupada is hinting that he shouldn't have laughed at that, even though there's Krishna's plan to bring him back. Still, Chitraketu shouldn't have laughed. Text 6. Chitraketu said, Lord Shiva, the spiritual master of the general populace, is the best of all living entities who have accepted material bodies. He enunciates the system of religion. Yet how wonderful it is, how amazing it is, that he is embracing his wife Parvati in the midst of an assembly of great saintly persons. Lord Shiva, whose hair is matted on his head, has certainly undergone great austerities and penances. Indeed, he is the president in the assembly of strict followers of Vedic principles. He is the most strict follower of Vedic principles. And in the Vedic system, the intimate dealings between husband and wife, men and women, are not enacted in public, as is the habit in the West. These things are done more privately, the more intimate dealings between husband and wife. So Chitraketu was, he remarked, Lord Shiva's so great, and look, he's acting. He's seated with his wife on his lap, even though he's the strictest follower of Vedic principles. He's seated with his wife on his lap in the midst of saintly persons, and he's embracing her as if he is a shameless, ordinary human being. Chitraketu appreciated the exalted position of Lord Shiva, and therefore he remarked at how wonderful it was, wonderful in the sense of amazing, that Lord Shiva was acting like an ordinary human being. He was extraordinary, but yet he was doing something that common people do. He appreciated Lord Shiva's position, but when he saw Lord Shiva acting in the midst of saintly persons and acting like a shameless, ordinary man, he was astonished. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur remarks that although Chitraketu criticized Lord Shiva, he did not offend Lord Shiva like Daksha did. In the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, we heard how Daksha criticized Lord Shiva, and the result was horrible. Horrible. Everyone was cursing each other and counting cursing, and everyone left, covered their ears and left the assembly. But this was completely different. He didn't have that type of enmity in his heart. He was just commenting. So when there's criticism done, it's the enmity, the malice in the heart, the wishing harm to others that really causes offense, the envy in the heart. So Daksha considered Lord Shiva insignificant, but Chitraketu expressed his wonder at Lord Shiva's being situated in that way. Text 8. Chitraketu continued, ordinary conditioned persons generally embrace their wives and enjoy their company in solitary places. How wonderful it is that Lord Mahadev, Shiva, although a great master of austerity, is embracing his wife openly in the midst of an assembly of great saints. Prabhupada's purport. The word Mahavrata Dhara indicates a brahmachari who has never fallen down. So that's a Sanskrit word from the verse. Lord Shiva is counted amongst the best of yogis, yet he embraced his wife in the midst of great saintly persons. Chitraketu appreciated how great Lord Shiva was to be unaffected even in that situation. Therefore, Chitraketu was not an offender. He merely expressed his wonder. Sukadeva Goswami continued narrating this. My dear King, Prakrit Maharaj, after hearing Chitraketu's statement, Lord Shiva, the most powerful personality, whose knowledge is fathomless, there is no end or limit to his knowledge, he simply smiled. He didn't become offended. He simply smiled and remained silent. And all the members of the assembly followed the Lord by not saying anything. Prabhupada's purport. Chitraketu's purpose in criticizing Lord Shiva is somewhat mysterious and cannot be understood by a common man. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has made the following observation. Lord Shiva, being the most exalted Vaishnava and one of the most powerful demigods, is able to do anything he desires. Although he was externally exhibiting the behavior of a common man and not following etiquette, such actions cannot diminish his exalted position. The difficulty, so when a great person does something, it shouldn't be imitated, because we, common people, ordinary people, will get into trouble. We cannot know their consciousness, how great and powerful they are, and Lord Shiva was in that position. But yet, there was a problem. The difficulty, as Prabhupada continues, even though Lord Shiva wasn't diminished in his position by acting in this way, the difficulty is that a common man, seeing Lord Shiva's behavior, might follow his example. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, yad yad, acharati shreshtas tad eva taro janas sayat pramanam kurute lokas tad anavartate. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by his exemplary acts, all the world pursues. A common man might also criticize Lord Shiva, like Daksha, who suffered the consequences for his criticism. So not only might someone imitate Lord Shiva's activities, public activities, but also they might criticize him, not understanding his position. So King Chitraketu decided that Lord Shiva cease this external behavior so that others might be safe from criticizing him and thus become offenders. If one thinks that Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the only perfect personality, whereas the demigods, even such demigods as Lord Shiva, are inclined to improper social affairs, he's an offender. Considering all this, King Chitraketu was somewhat harsh in his behavior with Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, who was always deep in knowledge, could understand Chitraketu's purpose, and therefore he was not at all angry. Rather, he simply smiled and remained silent. The members of the assembly surrounding Lord Shiva could also understand Chitraketu's purpose. Consequently, following the behavior of Lord Shiva, they did not protest. Instead, following their master, they remained silent. If the members of the assembly thought that Chitraketu had blasphemed Lord Shiva, they would certainly have left at once, blocking their ears with their hands, because it affects the heart, the consciousness, if one hears blasphemy or criticism of great souls. So they would have left if it was that case. But he wanted to say something. Chitraketu thought that others might criticize Lord Shiva, so therefore he thought that it may be better if Lord Shiva desist from his activities. Text 10. Not knowing the prowess of Lord Shiva and Parvati, Chitraketu strongly criticized them. His statements were not at all pleasing, and therefore the goddess Parvati, being very angry, spoke as follows to Chitraketu, who thought himself better than Lord Shiva in controlling the senses. So there are many different angles or things to be learned from this one pastime, and Prabhupada will one by one explains. And who is supposed to do the learning here? It is ourselves. Here is Prabhupada's purport. Although Chitraketu never meant to insult Lord Shiva, he should not have criticized the Lord, even though the Lord was transgressing social customs. It is said, Tejiyasam Nadoshaya, one who is very powerful should be understood to be faultless. For example, one should not find faults with the sun, although it evaporates urine from the street. The most powerful cannot be criticized by an ordinary man, or even by a great personality. Chitraketu should have known that Lord Shiva, though sitting in that way, was not to be criticized. The difficulty was that Chitraketu, having become a great devotee of Lord Vishnu, Shankarshan, was somewhat proud at having achieved Lord Shankarshan's favor, and therefore thought that he could now criticize anyone, even Lord Shiva. So there is an instruction here that we should deeply imbibe, and that has to do with pride. That even if one is a great devotee, and look how great Chitraketu was, he even saw the Lord came to sit and to stand before him and spoke to him. He appeared before him directly due to his devotion. Yet there was some pride there. And that pride naturally causes one to criticize. This kind of pride in a devotee is never tolerated. A Vaishnava should always remain very humble and meek and offer respect to others. Trinada pisa ni chena turoda pisa hisnu na amanina manadena kirtaniya sadhati. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw on the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. A Vaishnava should not try to minimize anyone else's position. It is better to remain humble and meek and chant the Hare Krishna mantra. The word nirjitatma bimanane indicates that Chitraketu thought himself a better controller of the senses than Lord Shiva, although actually he was not, because he was surrounded by women there, but he was fixed in glorifying the Lord, and he was minimizing. He thought, how wonderful I am, I've seen the Lord directly, Lord Vishnu, Lord Shankarshan, I'm better than Lord Shiva. And therefore he dared to speak in this way. Because of these considerations, Mother Parvati was somewhat angry at Chitraketu. So she began to speak. The goddess Parvati said, "Alas, has this upstart now received a post from which to punish a shameless person like us? Has he been appointed ruler, carrier of the rod of punishment? Is he now the only master of everything? Alas, Lord Brahma, who has taken his birth from the lotus flower, does not know the principles of religion, nor do the great saints like Bhrigu and Narada, nor the four Kumaras headed by Sanat Kumar. Manu and Kapila also have forgotten the religious principles. I suppose it to be because of this that they have not tried to stop Lord Shiva from behaving improperly." So she's speaking very sarcastically. She's saying that who does he think he is? He's just a new boy in town. And he knows so much already. He knows more than Sanat Kumar. He knows more than Lord Brahma. He knows more than these great sages, Manu, Kapila Muni, and they don't stop Lord Shiva, but oh, it's because they have forgotten what is right and wrong and leaving it to you. So you're so wonderful. So straight sarcasm. "This Chitraketu," she continued, "is the lowest of Kshatriyas, of the kings, for he has impudently overridden Brahma and the other demigods by insulting Lord Shiva, upon whose lotus feet they always meditate. Lord Shiva is personified religion and the spiritual master of the entire world, and therefore Chitraketu must be punished." Purport. All the members of the assembly were exalted brahmanas and self-realized souls, but they did not say anything about the conduct of Lord Shiva, who was embracing the goddess Parvati on his lap. Chitraketu nonetheless criticized Lord Shiva, and therefore the opinion of Parvati was that he should be punished. This person is puffed up, proud, because of his achievements, thinking, I am the best. He does not deserve to approach the shelter of Lord Vishnu's lotus feet, which are worshipped by all saintly persons, for he is impudent, thinking himself greatly important. So, how dangerous is pride? Gets us in so much trouble, and no matter how many bad qualities we have, and no matter how small the quantity of our goodness is, we tend to get proud and carry pride with us in Kali Yuga, and we tend to minimize others and become critical of others. And Prabhupada said, it's better not to do that unless specifically it's our duty to criticize, like it's a parent's duty to criticize his children. And we'll hear this in Prabhupada's purport to 15. So unless it's one's duty, like the parent when he criticizes, or she criticizes, the mother criticizes, it's due to love and affection, wanting to help the child. There's no malice, there's no envy. That's when its criticism is dutifully performed. But otherwise, people should basically refrain from criticizing. Just chant Hare Krishna, become humble, and do their own duties. So he is thinking himself greatly important. Purport. If a devotee thinks that he's very much advanced in devotional service, he's considered puffed up and unfit to sit beneath the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. Again, this instruction by Lord Chaitanya is applicable. Srinadapi sunichenat turodapi sahisnuna amanina manadena kirtani asadahari. So Prabhupada has repeated this verse of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's. He said it in, he quoted it in a few verses ago. He just said the verse, Trinadapi Sunicha, and now he's saying it again. Have we all forgotten already? And the answer is that so much of teaching isn't giving new information, but it's reminding us of what is important and what we already know. It's more reminding. And when something is repeated, we should know that it's repeated because it's important. It's repeated for emphasis. So this is a very important instruction. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself gave it. Trinadapi Sunichana. We have to become humble, otherwise we won't be able to chant the holy names of the Lord. So one should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw on the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Unless one is humble and meek, one cannot qualify to sit at the lotus feet of the Lord. O impudent one, my dear son, now take birth in a low, sinful family of demons, so that you will not commit such offense again towards exalted saintly persons in this world. So here is the final purport we'll read. One should be very careful not to commit offenses at the lotus feet of Vaishnavas, of whom Lord Shiva is the best. While instructing Srila Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described an offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava as Hatti Mata, a mad elephant. When a mad elephant enters a nice garden, it spoils the entire garden, trampling, picking up things with its trunk and throwing it here and there. Similarly, if one becomes like a mad elephant and commits offenses at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, his entire spiritual career is halted. One should therefore be very careful not to commit offenses at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, devotees. Don't criticize devotees. Mother Parvati was justified in punishing Chitraketu, but Chitraketu impudently criticized the Supreme Father, Mahadev, who is the father of the living entities conditioned within this material world. The goddess Durga is called Mother, and Lord Shiva is called Father. A pure Vaishnava should be very careful to engage in his specific duty without criticizing others. This is the safest position. Otherwise, if one tends to criticize others, he may commit the great offense of criticizing a Vaishnava. Because Chitraketu was undoubtedly a Vaishnava, he might have been surprised that Parvati had cursed him. Therefore, the goddess Parvati addressed him as Putra, or son. Everyone is the son of Mother Durga, but she is not an ordinary mother. As soon as there is a small discrepancy in a demon's behavior, Mother Durga immediately punishes the demon so that he may come to his senses. This is explained by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, Daivyesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mameva te papadyante mayamitan tarantite. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. To surrender to Krishna means to surrender to his devotees also. For no one can be a proper servant of Krishna unless he is a proper servant of a devotee. Chariya Vaishnava Seva Nishtara Payeshikeva. Without serving a servant of Krishna, one cannot be elevated to being a servant of Krishna himself. Therefore, Mother Parvati spoke to Chitraketu exactly like a mother who says to a naughty child, "My dear child, I am punishing you so that you won't do anything like this again." This tendency of a mother to punish her child is found even in Mother Yasoda, who became the mother of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mother Yasoda punished Krishna by binding him and showing him a stick. Thus, it is the duty of a mother to chastise her beloved son, even in the case of the Supreme Lord. It is to be understood that Mother Durga was justified in punishing Maharaj Chitraketu. This punishment was a boon to Chitraketu because after taking birth as the demon Vritrasura, he was promoted directly to Vaikuntha. So there are, on so many different levels, there are reasons. So if one says, well, this is the reason, and that's the reason, and then people can argue about why things are happening. But the ultimate reason is Chitraketu was being favored by Krishna, and Krishna wanted him home. Even though all to the spiritual world, so all these reasons may be true, but the ultimate reason of Krishna's desire is most true. And this is applicable in all circumstances. So there are so many lessons to be learned in these pastimes. So many, 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 many lessons. So we should hear and study and learn what we are to learn and apply it to our life. To know things theoretically is one thing, and then to apply it to our own life is real purpose of knowledge. Jnana and vigyan. Realized knowledge is knowledge that is applied. Okay. We'll stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Chitraketu Maharaj ki jai, Parvati ki jai, Lord Shiva ki jai, Gaur Premanande. Okay, tomorrow we shall continue. There's a good chance that next week the class schedule shall be...